Hello, everybody. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Dice and Die Show. I'm your host, Luke, something or another. Lukey Baby, Lukey underscore Baby 86 on Twitter. I'm your host, your GM, your DM, your godfather. If you want me to be, why the fuck not? I've never been anybody's godfather before. Send your applications in now. Show the D&D at gmail.com. with me tonight or today, well, morning, whatever time of day it is you listen to this podcast, I have Scapes, played by James Blight.
Hello, everyone.
Burr Boltflower, played by Gavin Bourne.
Good morning, good evening, good night, good bollocks.
In case I don't see you, good afternoon, good evening, and good night. Millicent Bard, Lisa Horton.
Hello.
And Puck.
Hello.
Druid.
What? Yes, I am. Correct.
How's everyone been? How's everyone been, even, since the last time we had a get-together to play some good old D&D?
Yeah,
not much has changed.
Yeah. Had a piss. Made a cup of tea.
Nice. Tea. Cracked open another beer.
Yeah. I am drinking a Recorderlig Wild Berries Cider Cocktail with rum.
That sounds good. I haven't had a Recorderlig in years. They were always like Copperberg, only better.
So yeah, they left like sugary tea.
Nice. Yeah. As always, still on my Aldi own brand canned beers. This one's quite cool. Yeah, it's got a really cool, so I don't know if anyone on the stream will be able to see it, but it's like got spaceships and stuff on it.
Yeah.
It's called Odyssey Lunar Lager, apparently. Is it a lager?
did you get the Citroen sorted out, by the way?
I didn't. No, I was going to mention that last step, actually. No, my car's fucked, yeah. So basically, I'm really annoyed because basically the whole story of this car is fucked in the beginning. I got it 2 years ago. I've had it for just 2 years. And when I got it, $3,000 we paid for it, and I've had no end of trouble. Luckily, I had a six-month warranty, and I had some bits and pieces done with it while I was in warranty. But the guy basically sold me a lemon. He was a fucking bastard. So if anybody's thinking about buying a car from, I can't even remember what the place was called. I wish I could. They're near Norwich somewhere. Don't fucking do it. The guy's a fucking shirker. I feel like I've heard that word before, and I'm worried that it might be derogatory. So I do apologise.
I think you're right, mate.
I'll put a beep in the
Blake.
Did you make it sound worse?
Yeah. I can't remember what it's called. Anyway, if you're thinking about buying a car from an MOT garage and like stuff up near Norwich somewhere, then let us know, and I'll let you know if it's the same place or not. There, but yeah, fucking wankers. And there's loads of stuff went wrong with it. They promised me, for example, when I got it, when I put the deposit down, that it had service history and that the water pump and cam belt had all been done recently. Then when I actually went and picked it up after it had been kind of prepared and we were just about to drive away, I was like, oh, we've got all of the paperwork, all the service documents. He was like, oh, no, there isn't any. I was like, you literally told me that there was. And he was like, oh no, but it has all been done. I'm like, all right. And I knew instantly the water pump hadn't been done because when we checked it, when we put the deposit down on it and we looked it over, that the coolant was empty. I was like, and he's like, yeah, we'll get all that topped up. And then when I picked it up and got it home, the coolant was empty. So I was like, well, like this right. Doesn't make any sense. And I kept on topping it up, and I've been topping it up every month or so, topping it. And I knew it was a problem. I've had the diesel and the Citroen cars have this depollution thing in there. I can't remember what it's called. So I've had that replaced. I've had this special stuff, and that was like £800 at the time last year.
Jeez.
I've had the water pump done on it just last month. I've had a full service and MOT done it last month. There's been loads of stuff done on it. I've probably spent like MOTs and services always cost a couple hundred quid anyway on an old car, but like all in all, since I bought it for $3,000 2 years ago, I've probably spent another £1,500 on repairs on it. And then a service MOT last month, and then a couple of days ago, I was driving it around fine. And then the next morning, I think it was Sunday, I went and got into it just to go to McDonald's for breakfast. And gearbox faulty. And it's a electronic manual, so it's got a manual gearbox, but there's no clutch. The computer changes all the gears for you, so it works like an automatic.
Right.
And then it's like a Ferrari race car. It's got paddle shifting on the column and stuff like that. It wouldn't go into automatic mode. It wouldn't go into manual mode. It wouldn't go into reverse. It just wouldn't do anything. And yeah, it looks like the gearbox or the clutch or the actuator is fucked. So we're looking at getting possibly a new car. I've sent it off to the garage that I use. I use a garage in Colchester. I've got my breakdown team to take it to them, and they're going to look at it and see what it'll cost. So I'm paying for them to diagnose, which will probably cost me £50. And if it's not too bad, I'll fix it. But if it's a whole clutch replacement, which is going to cost me near and on the grand, then I'm just going to scrap it.
No, it's not. Yeah. You can't pay
fix it and ditch it.
Well, that's what I was thinking as well. Like, if it's £500-600, I'll get it fixed. And then what I'll do is then I'll look to sell it. Because if it is only £500, I can probably sell it for about £1,200-1,500 and then use that money for another car.
Yeah. But just mug it off onto someone else.
This is it. Yeah. So at the moment, we're driving around in my wife's little Volkswagen Polo, and we've got, with a family of five, and my 11-year-old son is the size of a 14-year-old. He's fucking huge, so he's trying to squeeze in the middle of this little car, and it means we haven't been able to take the dog out, because most days take the dog to either like a nearby lake or a forest or something. We haven't, so it all sucks.
Don't buy a French.
This is it. Yeah. So I don't know what we're gonna do. It's not. I'm not happy. So if anybody's got a decent
Nissan, Nissan's a decent motors.
Yeah, we need a big family car, so it needs to be either like a big estate. Like, we're looking at maybe like a Passat, like a Volkswagen Passat estate or something like that.
Yeah, German or Jap.
I've got a Toyota you can have if you want it. I was thinking about sending it for ages. It's a 5-seater, but it's massive. I get a whole band in it.
Yeah, the thing is that with my two little ones still sit in seats, so they've got like, you know, so then it's they're in seats. So they go in the left and right, and then that means that my biggest child has to sit in the middle. Now, when we were kids, there was no laws about car seats, so we didn't have any, and then the smallest kid sat in the middle. But unfortunately now you have to, you know, and it's a good thing that we have car seats, safety first. But,
my parents used to just throw me in the back of a van.
Being a kid and sitting, you know, exactly, back of vans.
Three in the boot.
In the boot, a couple of us sitting in the boot.
Many times I travelled in the back of a transit getting smacked in the power tool.
I think we put a sofa in the back of my dad's transit once, and he fixed seatbelts to it though, which is like, you know, so it's fine. But we drove up to Chester.
I don't know if that is fine. I don't know if I want to be strapped into a sofa when we crash.
Threw up everywhere backwards in the dark.
The good old days.
So if anyone's got a decent big family car, preferably a 7-seater, then that'd be great. Let me know. And
what I can say is my mum's got it's a disability car, but it is a Volkswagen, and it has, touchwood, been brilliant. So VW's not a bad shout.
I don't know. Not what I needed.
I think Scapes wants to kill stuff.
So that's my life this week. Anything else? Anyone else sound exciting?
Okay. Gruffalo soldier. Okay, let's go.
Okay, let's get on with it. So, the D&D show. Last time on the D&D show. Not a lot happened, really. You went into the basement. It's all dark and smelly. You're holding back gags. You have a search around, and there's some these vines everywhere, choking the walls, the ceiling, the floor. You search around and discover what you're in, what is clearly the original inhabitants of this castle, the Uglatha family, the Winterbreeze family. Is there family little tomb, resting room, because that's what people did in the fantasy D&D world. They buried each other in their own fucking basements. How weird is that? But it's apparently it's what they did. So there's some sarcophagi, and as you go, one of them burst open. You go to, and there's a statue of one of the elvish gods, for the protector of the dead, a Sahanin Moonbow. It's all smashed by it and torn down by these weird vines that smell of death. And you go and investigate, and these weird grubs, maggoty, like a swarm of them, spill out, and they kind of don't do anything. They just around the floor a bit, and you just takes a couple of rounds. But yeah, you basically just stamp them all to death. Lucky escape. There's this tunnel, and you follow it round, and you enter this big cavern. Not massive cavernous room. It's maybe 20, 30, 40 feet. Massive chasm opens, cracking the ground in the middle. Emanating cold. It's really cold here. Now, if you guys were paying attention, you might remember another time that you found a random crack in the ground that emanated cold. And the vines are sprouting out of this cavern. You see a table, a sacrificial table with a skeleton on it, and a desk. And go and look at the body or the corpse. Not even a corpse anymore, it's just a skeleton. You go and have a look, and there, laying next to it, is this gem, this Kira, that you were asked to find by Agatha the Banshee. Millicent, and I'm so glad it was you that grabbed it. I really knew it would be you, and I hoped it would be you. You pick it up, and the instant you touch it, you disappear almost inside this gem, and everything's bright and white, like you're in a cloud. It's just heavenly fog all around you, and you explore a bit, and eventually you find yourself stumbling into memories that are trapped inside this gem, and you go through a little journey of some of Menaru or Glatha's childhood memories. And they're quite innocent at first, a little bit of family life. Her father's some kind of priest or cleric. She meets a friend, she makes a friend. Her father, like the diary you found, you know, like that told you, kind of boring at first, but she's made this friend. She really wants to be with this person. There's love there. She wants to go away with him, but her father won't let her. And then things get a little bit weird. He appears to her inside a mirror and convinces her to learn these dark magics from this book that he gives her from inside a mirror. I'm like, well, this fucking girl's stupid, really. She deserved what she got, didn't she, really? and then we skip forward to the last living memory that poor Melaru Orglatha had, where she sacrificed her mother for love to be with Mo. And as she does so, the torment, the tragedy of it splits her soul into two, and part of her disappears incorporeally, whilst Mo steps out of the mirror and transforms into this half spider, half female dark elf. Some of you with some more information around D&D to in the pantheons in the background may know this, have put two and two together, but the last dying breath of her mother, with a knife in her chest, she calls out, "Loth," and she dies. Melaru's soul split in two. She disappears. Her human, elven, like you know, human side, disappears inside the gem, whilst the bitterness, the anger, that gets transformed and made corporeal or incorporeal, disappears. Any ideas as to what's going on?
Okay. If this Kira is Agatha's,
mm-hmm.
then Agatha is Melaru, because it's her memories, right? Everyone correct. Agree?
So, well done. And I'm glad you got that, because I thought it was fucking obvious and I was worried you wasn't going to get it.
Well, you know what? We've got form, so I'm not surprised. Yeah. You're worried.
And obviously Mo is Moanda.
Mm-hmm. But is Mo
Moanda? Weird that it's a spider?
Well, this is what we need.
It's not weird. It was half elf, half spider, wasn't it? So half it's dark, like
queen, yeah.
Half, obviously, in relation queen, to our current quest.
That's the black spider.
Yeah, maybe. Well,
they're like things. They're like creatures that live in the Underdark, aren't they? But I can't remember what they're called.
Am I out of vision now?
Yeah. So the last thing that happened after this vision, this memory faded, as you snap back to reality. No, it seems as though no time has passed. Everybody else is still doing exactly what they were doing just beforehand, looking around. And the last thing you hear inside your head, Millicent, is just, "Save me." And you're back in the room.
Was there a voice, tone of voice to that, "Save me"?
It was Melaru's voice.
Okay, lovely. Okay, I stumble back, sweat on my head, holding the Kira, and just say, "Guys, I had a vision. I've got some information."
Yes. Carry on.
Wow, that's crazy.
While I'm having this conversation, I want to check two things. I want to do a check for Loth, history check or something like that. Do I know that name? And two, I want to look for the mirror that I saw in the vision. Is it still in this room? Shattered? Is it
shattered about on the floor?
Okay, thank you. Do I know anything about Loth?
History or religion?
I'm going to go probably history.
As an elf, you can roll with advantage.
Well, that's a nat 20 on the first roll.
Oh, nice. Sweet.
Those are all again because that's as high as you can get. So 24.
Loth. Let me bring up the wiki. You know all about Loth. And you should. You should know all about Loth. And I'll tell you for why you should know about Loth.
Also,
is Loth standing there with the
while
trail?
While that's yet? Happening.
Yes.
Luke said about the last time we experienced a hole in the ground with cold air coming from it.
Mm-hmm.
Can't for the life of me remember what that was.
No, I can't remember either.
That's hurt my heart. Oh, heart attack. Ooh.
I can't think of when there was a hole in the ground on a map or...
Big chasm in the ground.
Thunder tree, maybe?
Fell into it. It was cold.
Oh, in the Red Brands. Yeah, the thing we all fell into at the Red Brands thing where we found the sword and it spoke into my head. Millicent fell off the bridge.
That's right. where the nothing was.
That's right.
Yeah, that was chilly, wasn't it?
That was cold. Unnaturally cold. I can't remember if at the time anybody did a detect magic. I think they did. Loth was known as, and that's L-O-L-T-H. According to this, it's pronounced Louth as though it's spelled with an A, but why the fuck don't spell it with an A then? Why spell it with an O if you're going to pronounce it with an A? Fucking... This is how I feel
about the other spelling of my name.
Yeah, in fairness, known as the Queen of Spiders or the Queen of Demon Web Pits, was the most influential goddess of the drow within the pantheon of the Dark Seldarine. So the Seldarine were the pantheon of the elves. She was the pantheon of the dark elves, the drow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You would know all about it with you've rolled a 20 plus whatever bonuses you've got on there. She's just like an evil goddess. She is often, sometimes she appears as a drow, as a female. Sometimes she appears as a half spider, half drow. So someone in the chat just now did say that that's the clue. It's half drow, but it's not like she's half drow, half human. It was because she had the body of a giant spider.
Like a spider centaur.
Oh, really.
It's a black fucking spider, isn't it?
Because that's a drow. It's her. Is it? I'm trying to remember this from the Jits books.
I think they were called dryads. Is what you're thinking of?
Dryders.
Dryders. That's the one.
Dryders.
Perhaps. Yeah, that's a bit like that. If you know what they are. Like yeah. I can't imagine a situation where Burr would put those two and twos together. But
Not me. I know. Out of character.
So, are we thinking that this is the same spider of blackness that we are in search of? Because we know that the black spider is a drow.
I am not finished.
Oh.
Loth's follower base is varied, mainly consists of drow, but also could be some other people, deep dragons, dragloths, I don't know, never heard of them. She's also gained some just normal elven followers. You know, she's evil, so if you're an evil elf, maybe you're going to follow Loth. However, the history books will tell you that once upon a time, she tried to gain more worshippers by assuming the aspect of Moanda, the deity of rot. That's it, I'm done.
Okay.
I'm scared to
feel free.
So it is man.
The deity.
Feel free to go to Forgotten Realms wiki and look her up if you want more information. There's nothing in there that's going to break this game at all. You feel free to have a look at that.
So as far as just a question for my history check, would I have an idea of potentially how powerful is? Obviously she's not Moanda, she's not a deity, she's a fake.
Loth is a god, she is a deity.
Oh fuck,
she is the queen of the evil elven gods. Absolutely. So what you'd know from that check is basically after Moanda died and his followers were left without god, she, you know, she's a god, she can change her appearance, so she would assume his image and then control them through herself and pretend to be Moanda. One thing that you know, because you rolled really, really well, and now all these pieces are starting to go together in your head and you're remembering some stuff that maybe, I don't know, your mum or your dad, whichever was your elven patronage comes from, has possibly taught you about your own you know, that side of the family's history and stuff is that Moanda was, he used to get enjoyment, and Lolf would get enjoyment out of corrupting elves. It's what they did for kicks, for shits and giggles. So, you know, Lolf basically has pretended to be Moanda to give Melaru the idea of, you know, through love, you know, she's corrupted her, you know, yeah. But look, you know, if you do this and you create a seed of Moanda and you do all this, we can be together, you and I, me being Mo, secretly Moanda, you know, but then actually it was just all a fucking game to her just because she was bored and she just, you know, her father was presumably a man of great importance in the elven community that was around here several thousand years ago. And it was just all just to fuck them up. The reasons, what reason, you'll never know, but that's, it sounds like from what your parent, your elven parent probably told you, it sounds like the kind of shit, you know, you were probably the boogeyman when you were a kid, you know, you watch out for Lolf, you know, Lolf will get you, you know, and now it all makes sense.
So, if I'm correct in piecing a few bits of information together, do we have hints at how to defeat the black spider from what we know of how to get rid of Moanda in terms of the fight cold with fire and magic?
I don't think you understand the gravity of the situation, Pock.
Right, okay.
Lolf is a god.
Oh, fuck. Okay, right.
That's why I was repeatedly saying, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck, oh, fuck.
So the black spider is a guise, so to speak.
The black spider is a pen name, I think.
She moonlights.
Let's look at the facts. We know that the black spider is recruiting from the Underdark.
Yeah.
And as I'm saying that, I'm going to go over to the chasm, just have a peek over and see how deep it is, if we can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking about throwing something down there.
Just some light on that situation.
Droop.
Throw a droop down there.
Hey, guys. I'm standing here with my torch.
Throw it down, droop.
Have we got any rope? Can we lower droop down there?
So basically...
I've got a thorn whip.
Kinky.
I mean, yeah, you drop something down there. You can drop a torch down there.
A torch would be good because we'll have a visual and audible depth gauge.
Let's just see that there's nothing coming up to fire us really quick.
Should we do that last? Let's get everything we want first. And well, then
I think,
look down the big scary hole.
My next job or next thing I'm going to do was take... give that information to Scapes and discuss with him. You know, yeah, she did bad things, but Agatha is Melaru, and I think she regrets all of those decisions. She was tricked, and I think bringing her back with her memories will hopefully break her from her banshee chains or whatever. I don't really know anything about this shit. This is your realm, dude.
We need to lay this body to rest properly.
So this will be... There's no remains of Melaru, is there? The physical...
No,
but there is her mother there.
Yeah.
Who was killed in an unceremonious way. So I think making this ground holy again will require blessing this body, probably. Maybe even...
Can we put it back with a family in the other room?
Yeah. I think that's probably for the best.
We can do our best and
take it, give her a little shindig. Do you know what I mean?
Definitely
works for that. For a wake.
Does anyone want to have a look at the desk and see if there's anything else?
Yeah, I was just about to sort of head
anything
over.
Anything else there?
Any other bit? There was, the book they were speaking of is the Bow Gentle book, I'm presuming. The book of nasty spells and things. I'm presuming that's the book in question.
I presumed the same, but Luke's not giving us anything. So.
No, I think we go with the fact that that...
Wait, book... hold on. Who's asking us about Bow Gentle's book? Sister Gariel?
Gariel.
Whoa. Is she now fucking... Oh. Are we doing that thing where we're suspicious of everybody, or is she genuinely a fucking problem?
I think we'll find out if Gundren's alive or not, don't we, really, when we get back?
That book would be a very powerful book. Let's look for the book. Is the book here?
There is. There's no book. No, I was debating making you roll. There's no book. Okay. If you go, give me a who's looking and who's looking where, because there is that desk.
I would like to look at the table.
Give me a perception or just perception's fine. Okay. Very beautiful. This map is fantastic. Lucre, thank you so much. Yeah, so he's done a fantastic job and he's made that desk look all brand new and the stuff on it. But
thank you.
It's you know.
I rolled an 11.
Okay.
And I can't cast guidance on myself, can I?
Read the spell description. Can you? Can you not?
So its range is a touch. You touch a willing creature.
Okay.
I am willing.
Are you willing and can you touch yourself?
Okay. Yes. I've already rolled the d4 and it landed on a 4.
Okay. So
you have to roll a d4 to add the number to the ability check. I rolled it before I asked you. Do you want me to roll it again?
So, no, that's fine. Guidance. You touch one willing creature. Yeah, you can touch yourself. There is no rule at all that says you can't touch yourself. It okay. works for all of us. Even like invisibility reads that way. You touch one willing creature.
2 minutes.
Yeah, all right.
And you can roll the die before or after making a bit of check. That's fine. I mean, there's no reason why you can't do that. You're not cheating at all because, you know, it's a cantrip as well, isn't it? So,
yeah. It just seemed a bit borderline that I can do it to myself, you know?
No, not at all. Because, like I said, a lot of spells read that way. Like, invisibility and stuff like that all read that way. Like, even the healing spells read that way. You touch a willing creature. But you can touch yourself. It's fine.
Okay, cool.
So you've gone over there probably like, because you're quite peculiar, Pock, aren't you? So you're probably like, and you're, So you touch yourself, have a little cheeky wank, rearrange your ball sack, you know. Stick your finger up your bum, I don't know.
That's a 15 in total.
That's a 15. So basically, there is the remnants of a book. The leather-bound casing is still there, and you're ever so careful. You open it to look at it, and as you open it, so the pages start crumbling. You're like, oh, fuck. All that's really left is it all crumbles to dust. But the very last page, because you don't lift the whole book, do you? Do you lift it? You know, the back cover stays there. The very last page reads...
Explodes.
Make a dexterity saving throw.
Paper cuts. Roll 1d2.
Okay, situation. Giant fucking wasp flew into my room. And my mum is now helping me trying to get rid of it.
Amazing.
That's all right.
Roll initiative.
You crack on.
Dexterity saving throw.
Don't block the webcam. I kind of want to watch this.
Sorry, guys.
Happen.
I thought it was a moth. I was like, oh, a giant moth's come in. And then I heard the buzz and it was slamming itself against my ceiling.
Yeah, so it is written in an archaic sort of bastard version of. What of common, like, you know, it's written like oldie English, you know, you can read it, but some of the phrases are slightly different. But it's the same phrase that you've read before upstairs, or rather that Millicent did. Seek not to question the ways and words of Moanda, lest you be stricken by the eating from within. Go forth and possess beings of power and influence for me. Slay and let the rot cover all. Fight against cold with fire and magic. Fear me and obey. Had you rolled worse, then the book would have just been destroyed as you tried to open.
Destroyed. So do you think this is the book in question?
Well, Bo Gentles.
Yeah. Roll me a history check to see what you know about Bo Gentle.
Ooh. Oh, I'm good at that. Yay. That's a 14 plus 6. 20, please.
20 is a good roll. Gonna touch yourself.
Touch myself in the corner. Fuck it. Okay.
I kind of assume at any time you do anything, you're going to, you know, things like this when you can prepare for it. You're standing there thinking, and you're trying to put pieces together. You're like, you know, speaking to the spirits to see if they will help you or not.
So as to hold one extra point, 21. Okay.
Yeah, no, right. To be fair, like 20 is a pretty.
I've got luck actually. I didn't think about that.
No, don't waste your stuff. Like, it's a pretty decent. Basically, Bogentle, I'm going to have to try and, I wasn't prepared for this, so I'm just going to scan the wiki as I go through. Bogentle of Silvery Moon was a legendary wizard. Silvery Moon, you would know, absolutely. It's way to the west, like past Tribor, past the woods, past the sea of something.
And Westness.
It's like a town full of wizards and elves and high magic and stuff like that. Legendary wizard from a long time ago. He was born, it says here, 1034 DR, which was like nearly 500 years ago, like 450 years ago or something. Basically, he's just a really famous wizard, but any history, you would know about him. All of the stories and everything about him is good. He was a good guy. Doesn't make sense to you that he would be kind of getting involved in anything like this at all. There's stories about him slaying Rorgok, the black dragon, with magic pilfered from the worm's own treasure hoard. You know, these are the famous stories. Then more other stories about plundering a well-guarded tomb of the Wizard King. Another one when he teased a red dragon by matching its flame breath with his own fire magic before going on to defeat it. And when he helped found the Abbey of St. Alaric after Alaric himself saved Bogentle's life. Everything about him is good, good, good. He was a force for good. After bequeathing his final magical work, which would eventually be bound into Bogentle's book, he bequeathed it to the School of Wonder. He travelled south to live out his waning years with the elves of Shilmista. Apparently, he died. Reported to have died when he fell from a mountain path in a snowstorm in the west of the Snowflake Mountains in 1241 DR. So he lived to a good old fucking age, 200 and something. What you know about him is all good. So you can't imagine why Bogentle's spellbook would be anything to do with Moanda at all. Plus, the time frame doesn't match up. This stuff with Melaru was happening a good 1,000-2,000 years ago. He's only, whatever I said, 300-400 years ago.
Okay.
The two don't add up. His spellbook, though, absolutely, you would know all about that as because, again, it's the first time you've asked to roll anything about it. I'm surprised. Again, it's famous. It's famous. It was a compilation of the magical teachings of him, of his, you know, it's basically all of the spells which he gathered throughout his life, basically.
Okay, so we can relax about Sister Gariel then. That's not a threat we didn't see. Did you hear that, Lisa, about the last page of the book I found on the table?
I've had to relocate. I may never be able to go back in my room ever again.
Amazing.
Oh my god, how funny. Oh, what's great as well is that you now have on the stream me calling for my mother at 33 years old.
Mom, guys, fuck me, I'm 34 in like a month.
It's horrible, isn't it?
In a month.
Yeah, man.
20th of September, put it in your diaries, guys. I don't know if this episode will probably get released after my birthday, but for those of you on stream, I expect a happy fucking birthday, 20th of September. Tweet me at Lukey_baby86 or tweet the show at showdnd. I've got an Amazon wish list. Just feel free to buy me some dice or something. You think I'm fucking joking?
What we're going to do is we'll all chip in for a set of dice, but every side's a one. And then for the next DM, we'll be all right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So Pox, basically, he's found this book and he's very gently looks at it and tries to open it. But as it's open, he's kind of like, you know, he's kind of opened it and tried, and all the pages just crumble. It's so, so old. But the last page, which stayed flat on the table, was still complete. And it was just that phrase again about Moanda that you've read before upstairs. You do have access to it in your journal on Roll 20 if you want to read it again.
Okay.
And then he rolled a history check about Bogentle. And what did you discover, Pock? I mean, you actually sat and thought about Bogentle for a second. Oh, okay.
He was a good guy.
And the timing's off, right?
Yeah, so it's got fuck all to do with anything.
Good. Well, that's something. At least maybe Sister Gariel isn't a threat.
Yeah.
Has anyone managed to check the chasm?
No, not yet. Are we going to chuck a torch down there?
I want to put some fire in it.
Right, you'd throw a produced flame down there, see what happens.
Yeah?
It'll go out.
Try it cold with... will something come up there?
Just right, yeah, okay, right, it. Fuck it, produce flame down there.
Okay, so do you just drop it or do you throw it with a bit of force?
I'm gonna, every single bit of my 10 strength going behind the produce flame down into the chasm.
Okay, you don't need to roll anything, you throw this down into the chasm, and as it goes down, you see it doesn't actually travel that far before, and you see it travel down, and the whole bottom, probably about 50, it's hard to tell, 50 foot, maybe more, far enough that you'd be worried if you were to fall down there, you'd probably die. It's just choked with these vines, and as it hits, it sparks, it's flammable, and these flames, they just start burning and burning, and all of these vines start burning and burning all the way up. It's travelling so quickly, like a fuse. And the flames, it's in the room. The room is filling with smoke. It smells almost toxic. Everybody roll me a constitution saving throw.
Shit! Sorry, guys, run away!
Or, yeah.
16.
Constitution plus 2, 5. But can I use inspiration to roll it again?
Absolutely, you can.
Dirty 20 for me.
Fuck's
sake!
Can I use inspiration again? Because I still got inspiration.
I'm just pissing my luck points away as well.
Inspiration, you either have it or you don't have it. You can't have it more than once.
Right, okay.
My inspiration would have run out and mine's a D6.
Yeah, the bardic inspiration is an extra D6. Right. It only lasts 10 minutes and it would have gone by now.
Okay, so my inspiration's gone. I've rolled a 2, so I've got like shit.
What's the inspiration to add to it? Sorry?
If you've got the inspiration I've given you, it's just advantage. You can roll again and take the better result.
Need a quick ruling on it. I know that I'm massively slowing this down. I rolled a 6.
Yep.
Used my luck point to roll again.
Okay.
I rolled an 8. Now I'd like to do something. I can either burn another luck point and roll again, or inspiration. There's lots of layers going on here.
Lots of layers. See if there's.
Or do you want to take the 8?
The compendium about luck.
It's I don't want to slow it down. It? Sorry.
Let me see.
Luck is roll additional d20 after the dice roll before the outcome is determined.
But yeah, okay. That's basically what inspiration does as well. I don't see any reason why you couldn't use inspiration too. Yeah, go for it.
Okay. So I roll a third d20. And roll a 7. Fuck's sake. 7 or an 8, which either one. I presume they have the same marking outcome.
Okay. So Millicent got a 20. Game. Burr's a 5, Pox less than 10 as well, Scape's got 16. So Scape's and Millicent, you're fine. You manage to kind of stuffle it, but you're not, you know, you're not breathing in too much fumes. Pock and Burr, you're struggling to breathe. You are going to take a small amount of damage from the smoke. 3 points of damage each as you're choking on these fumes, but then you manage to quickly cover your mouth before you do so. These flames spread, and you can see in the bottom right corner, the southeast corner of this room, where on the map you can see all of these vines are burning and burning and burning, revealing a passage.
Ooh.
And is it looks just like the vines burning, nothing else is catching?
No, it's just like a fuse, like it's just wafting up. But this currently, this pathway is just chokes in flames, but it's as fast as it's going up, it's also going out. You know, it's like,
yeah,
you know what I mean? You squirt.
Like a dynamite fuse.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, can I consecrate this body quickly?
Yeah, quickly.
Absolutely, you can.
Yeah, all right. What do I do?
I mean, you tell me, role play. There's nothing in the rules for it. You know, you're the paladin.
Okay,
presumably you'd like some incest, have a pray. Incest? For fuck's sake, incent.
Okay then, yeah, well, all right. Well, I've been lightened to,
Duke takes some damage. Duke chokes a bit as well.
Believe the incense, because there's enough smoke in here. So I'll get out a little flask of holy water, sprinkle it on the body, a couple of stones from my pockets that I put on the eyes, and then I'll I don't know what I say. Alakazam.
Piff, puff.
Bish, bash, bush. Yeah, no, I'll say a prayer and all that. I won't roll plaid because I don't seem to be able to right now.
Millicent will sort of quietly say a few words in Elvish under her breath to sort of assist, I guess, just because it's her culture and her background or whatever.
Yeah.
Millicent, what's...
worryingly at the flames.
what's an Elvish flower, an Elven flower? Is there like a big flower that you like?
A daisy.
I'll druid craft a daisy on the body.
I made that up, but that's lovely.
Yeah, whatever. Replace daisy with Elvish thing.
I mean, why not a daisy? Daisies are nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, we've probably holied this shit up. She's well holy now.
So
from being stabbed, she's well holy now.
Yeah, is the knife still in her? Better take that out and all. She don't look too holy with
is
that.
Is still? Oh, is the knife still in?
I mean, yeah, it's kind of stuck between her rib cage. Yeah,
cool.
Yeah,
it's a cool weapon.
Take it, the knife.
Ceremonial.
Yeah, take the knife.
Give her the knife back. That might go one way or the other.
Yeah.
Oh, don't like that laugh, Luke. Jesus. That terrifies me.
Do you think she's consecrated enough? Can we go?
Yeah.
Can I do a religion
check?
Oh, bye, Luke.
But he's gone.
He's gone.
Should we cremate her?
Roll a religion check, James. I'll tell you if you've done it.
Cremate, do they? Because then ones are in boxes. I don't think burning the body's a good idea.
Okay.
No.
I say boxes, I mean
sarcophagi.
Tombs, coffins, yeah, sarcophagi.
We've picked up the jewel gem, right?
I've got it, yeah.
Cool, excellent. Thought I'll check.
Yeah.
Luke, can I do a religion check to make sure this person is holy?
Seems like a really good idea, actually. We'll do some kind of religion checks to see whether or not you know how well you're doing with all of this. Yeah.
Natural 20.
You know exactly how you would make this right. I mean, you're doing some great stuff. I think what you need to do is make sure this entire place is purged of any evil, which you've done a good job of. You know, these vines are still burning and simmering away. You know, then there was evil upstairs as well. You've managed to kill all of that. But perhaps maybe bury the body or put the body into a thingy. Perhaps, you know, let's say you kind of bless the entire place. But really, this is a place of evil. And the best way to probably do it justice is possibly just to destroy it so that the evil that's here can never be used again. Destroy the book. Certainly.
Yeah. Destroy that book.
But yeah, you know exactly what you need to do.
I presume we need to kind of follow that path, but I think we should also, are we going back the way we came, closing the door and all of that, or do you think we've done enough?
No, I think we should go, I think we've done enough that way. I think we need to do something with this body though, don't we? So what are we going to do with it?
I'm happy to wrap it. I don't think we can bury it right now, but I think let's wrap. So as me and James
mummify it,
doing our ceremony, wrap the body. If you could druid craft some daisies and whatnot, as you said,
druid craft some coffin around her.
I'm not even sure I can druid craft. Is that a thing? Is that a spell, or is that just a thing I can do?
I don't know.
Not my character. Yeah, fuck it. They say I can do it.
So you can do what? Take advantage of my.
I was questioning druidcraft, and I don't know if it's a spell or a cantrip, or it's just a thing I can do.
It's a cantrip.
Yeah,
similar to
like thaumaturgy and things like that. It allows you to make simple effects.
With my natural 20, Luke, do I know what to do with this body now?
You know 100% what you need to do. I'll leave that to your imagination as a fantastic player to decide what it is that it does.
Oh, God, this could go.
Whatever you come up with is going to be canon.
Oh, is it? We're going to have to take the shoes.
Definitely.
Religion. It can't be very shoes.
We have to take the shoes. And the body needs to be as deep underground as it can be.
Isn't that going to worry Droop? Because we've got his shoes. Just got to bury him, no?
Yeah, no, we have to bury the shoes far away so the soul can't get out of its body. We need to bury it as deep as we can, so probably down there is a good idea.
Yeah.
And then we need to bury the shoes in the highest place we can, like bury them at the top of a tree or something.
Excellent. Let's do that.
That's it, in a cloud, if we can.
So we're lobbing the body down the chasm. Taking
yeah, but solemnly. Solemnly, you all have to stand on one leg with your head down. You have to rub your belly.
This is becoming like a Mason's event.
No, this is totally legit, honestly.
I mean, with that role, I believe you 1,000%. So yeah. I'm on one knee, weeping slightly at your words.
Yeah, and I say, like,
lower the body into the chasm.
Yeah, no, yeah, we don't lower him, I'll kick it in.
Of course, the ceremonial death trip, of course.
Demarius, Demandius, Aronicus, Baronicus, dead.
Bibbidi boppity boo.
Yeah, bish bash bosh. Right, let's go.
That was a. I just go over to the skates to be like, that was a beautiful service escape.
Thank you. Cool, right, let's take these shoes to a tree. Right, now, we can get on with it now. Put the shoes in. Put the shoes in a sack of holding for now. Yeah.
Well, next summer up a mountain.
Shoes. Can you continue? Can you produce flames at a cantrip?
Should I just keep.
Because Droop's got a thingy, isn't he? A torch, yeah, because otherwise skates can't see.
I'm
thinking more trying to clear this path out with the vines.
The vines are basically, they're all burning and simmering away, and it's all nearly, it's basically gone now.
Shall we take a little peek?
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Have a little gander.
Have a little goosey.
Who's going for? Should I lead? Should we send up armor class in front or flames?
I mean, always.
Or Droop first.
Droop. Droop, we've got Droop your back.
Escapes, then we'll follow.
I've got the torch. It makes.
I've got control now, Droop. Listen, you're going first.
Okay.
Don't worry, we're right behind you, honestly. Quick, guys, run.
I can see something.
As you go through this tunnel and the light fills the room, you see that it leads you back into the original room with the staircase that was cut, that you came down, covered in vines. Before you, stumbling towards the staircase, confused, not really sure, what's going on?
There's another door.
Oh, my screen just went mental.
Yeah, so did mine.
Oh, it's an undead.
Doesn't look quite like that, but it's the best I could do.
Pretty.
You see this shambling, zombie, mummified corpse walking, covered, wrapped in vines. Can't tell if it's a person or was a person, or if it is just plant.
It's going to be one of my endless followers, isn't it?
From its head, the shape that you expect to be its head, you can still see bits of flesh, bits of bone,
undead,
and coming out of its ear is this flower.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, fuck
it. One of my endless followers.
Does that class as undead, Luke?
Don't know, does it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
do we have to roll?
Okay, I'd like to do a sense undead then.
It turns as you come stumbling and the light fills its room.
Mallaru.
Roll for initiative.
Yeah.
It said Mallaru.
Mallaru.
It's the dude, her mate.
Is it dad?
Is Mo. No, wait.
7. Just rolled a natural 1.
Of course you did.
Fuck.
See, if I rolled a natural 1, I've got a minus, so I'd actually end up having to not play.
That's like the equivalent of running away.
It's fucking minimum. I've got plus six.
The minimum is 1. Okay. The minimum you can have is 1.
Yeah.
I ain't afraid of no ghosts. Is this land now easier to walk through that the vines are dead?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so it's squelchy, kind of like tar, sticky. So, no, it's still difficult terrain.
Bless you.
Bless you, dog.
wasn't my dog for once. Droop, top of the, well, it says here, put Droop at the top, but whatever. He's like, fuck that what the fuck? Oh, God. And he
charges in.
And he runs up there. He runs, so he runs in, sees this monster, and he's like, fuck. And he runs up north, heading back towards the sarcophagi. I'm
going to take my 30 feet movement to there.
Half speed, difficult terrain.
Okay, where was I? There.
Just go back three squares.
Can I get to the mouth of it there?
Yeah, I'll allow it. Probably, yeah, about there.
Yeah, fine. I've got line of sight, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to cast Tasha's Hideous Laughter.
Nice.
So. Creature of your choice that you can see within range perceives everything as hilariously funny and falls into fits of laughter.
Mm-hmm.
After this spell affects it, the target must succeed on a wisdom saving throw.
I want to check something, because I thought this earlier on when you cast a spell on the rock grubs. Right. Now, if a creature is immune to certain things, like, for example, being charmed, to me, this is a charm-like effect. Like, I'm just curious.
It's wisdom-based, not charisma-based. So that's my argument against. But
I'm gonna do a little Google very, very quickly, see if there is anything about that. Yeah, I mean, Google just straight up there says the word charm isn't used at all. So another thing.
My understanding is that if it's intelligent or wise enough as a creature to find things funny.
Yeah.
Like it might not work on a cow, I don't know.
Good old Jeremy Crawford, here we go. He wrote the fucking game. Let's see what he has to say on the matter. Tasha's Hideous Laughter works on any creature that has an intelligence of 5 or more. As for what skeletons laugh at, it's zombies. Skeletons think they're stinky, ridiculous slobs and laugh silently at them. Yeah, so enchantment works such as Tasha's Hideous Laughter on an ogre skeleton. Does it work? What would make a skeleton laugh? Okay, yeah, so yeah, he says it, yes, okay. So it doesn't specifically specify in a spell that it is a charm, so therefore it works. It may work. May work. What's the DC that I have to beat?
13.
I have to beat a 13 wisdom. Right. A creature of your choice that you can see within range perceives everything hilariously funny and falls into fits of laughter. So you don't even have to tell a fucking joke. V components, VSM, tiny tarts, and a feather that is waved in the air. So you start waving this feather and some tarts in the air, doing some weird moments, and your verbal component is
all of the only jokes I can think of are from Panto, and I'm not saying any of those.
You must know a knock knock joke.
Why did the chicken cross the road?
What's a chicken? What's a chicken?
As much as I'm weird kind of plant, zombie, monster, mummy can start laughing. It does.
And falls prone, right?
Yeah.
Incapacitated and unable to stand
up
for
the duration. Yeah. the target has advantage in the saving throw. So it gets to make a saving throw at the end of its turn. And it has advantage on the saving throw if it's triggered by damage. On a success, the spell ends. Incapacitated, so it basically cannot do anything. An incapacitated creature can't take actions or reactions, so it's prone. So it can move. It can move. Next
but it has
up,
to roll around on the floor laughing.
Rolls around on the floor laughing.
It has to ruffle. It has no choice.
Yes, it's bullshit. That's some.
And the thing is, if you, I mean,
grade A bullshit medicine.
Hit it.
Let's play Pathfinder. I'm fairly certain that shit wouldn't work in that. Fucking nonsense.
No, it's a good move. I've read it before.
What's a mummy? You can't fucking mummy fucking bullshit.
If it's intelligent enough to say Melaroo, then it's intelligent enough to find shit funny.
Yeah.
Shh. They've got great senses.
Don't question my wisdom.
I would never question you, DM. And the thing is, it's one of those things where these guys are probably going to wail on it now and it will get a saving throw and it'll be fine, but it knocks it on the floor for a turn, I guess.
This is it. Next up.
The fan art would be great.
Pop, what are you doing, mate?
30 feet that I can reach, can't I?
15, difficult terrain.
Without movement, sorry, in terms of spell.
Okay,
30. I can do it in 30, but I will move closer because I don't want to kill anyone. 15-foot cube originated from me. Will that incapacitate our fellow on the floor?
Yep, so it basically means you're a 15-foot cube originating from you. You're the center, so it would basically...
Oh, okay.
So it would basically would go... It would go like that. You can't see that. But that's what it would do.
Yeah. Cool. Excellent.
So it basically goes can... 5 feet around you. So it would be this. This would be the one corner. Then it would be that corner.
Well, in that case, never mind. I'm going to use produce flame at him because I've got fuck all else to do.
Okay.
Sorry. Waste of time. Advantage.
You cast produce flame. That's your action. And then next round you can throw it.
Ah, oh, fucking stupid.
One action to cast. One action to throw.
Motherfucker. All right.
Sure? Got something else you'd do instead?
Yeah, fuck it. I'll use my short bow. Can I do that then?
I'll allow you to use your short bow instead. Okay, yeah. Waffles, Maple Syrup, welcome to the chat. Thank you. I also saw another streamer that we connect with on Twitter as well earlier on. Alid something. She's a gaming variety streamer. If you're still here, hello.
Natural 20 to hit.
Fuck off.
Yeah, boy.
This is the boss. This is my boss. I've been planning this.
Oh, really? It's a 1d6 plus 2, and I rolled a 1, so it's
3 piercing damage, please.
But you rolled a nat 20, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Shit, yeah, I did, yeah.
So your bow does a d6, so you're going to do 6 plus the 3 for 9 points of damage.
Cool.
It's its turn. So, a creature of your choice. I'm saying everything is hilariously funny. He's making this strange noise. You're not quite... Oh, so he gets to make another saving throw because he just took damage. So
he does.
I rolled a 19. It stops laughing.
There we go.
He stands up, using half of his movement to do so, leaving him with a resounding 10 feet left to move at half speed. 5 foot. Burr. You're up.
Okay. Right. I can't get close enough to him. If I shoot through Millicent, I'm going to be disadvantaged, aren't I?
We won't be disadvantaged. No, you'll be all right. You can shoot through.
I can shoot straight through that.
You can shoot through, okay. Yeah. If she was like right in front of it, then I might give it a little bit of an AC boost for having some cover, but I'll allow you to shoot from there.
I'm going to shoot my short bow from there. 5, 16.
Hits.
7. 7.
7 points of damage.
That's me done, pretty much, I think.
Just, it's Millicent. You kept the Sildar's weapons that we found, yeah?
Yeah.
Anything else, Burr, at all? You're going to stay where you are? You're going to move up at all?
Yeah, I think I'll move towards to there. That'll do for now.
Slowly but surely.
Escapes.
Okay. I run past Burr of shouting a vow of enmity. My 15 feet that I can.
Look at that, right next to it.
I'm going to kill this thing again or whatever because it's already dead. so it's got a bow of enmity, which means I get advantage on rolls.
Okay.
So I'll go to hit with my first longsword.
That's your magical longsword.
Yeah, that's 14.
That's a hit.
Okay. And the damage. Oh, is
one.
Is one.
Oh,
but,
no.
You rolled a 1. That doesn't even make sense because it hasn't added. So it's a roll of 1, but it hasn't added your modifier. So
5.
I think you've.
That's 6.
Yeah. Think you've 5. Pressed the wrong button and we haven't used the. Because you've got 2 swords, so you've used the wrong sword. Because it says there's. But still, that's okay. You're still a hit, so it'll be 1 plus your strength modifier damage. So what's your strength modifier?
5. Find that.
3, I should imagine.
Yeah, it is 3, yeah.
So it's 4 points of damage.
And
it's
like
magical,
to...
so it's plus 1, so it's 5 points of damage.
Yeah, I'd also like to put a Divine Smite on that. It says when you put a melee weapon attack, you can expend 1 spell slot to deal 2d8 extra radiant damage.
As a...
plus 1.
Can you just do it, or do you need to use a bonus action to do it? Or can you just
do
it?
No, I don't have to use a bonus action. It's just when I hit with a melee weapon. And it's also a plus 1d8 against undead, so it'd be 3d8. Oh, it's only 13. What a prick. Okay. But yeah, there you go. An extra 13 as well.
Bush.
Nice. I love it.
You've got 3 attacks, though, right?
He What's does that? Technically have an extra attack because you can only draw one weapon per turn. So you draw one attack. Next round, you'll be able to draw the second one and make two attacks.
I already had both my weapons out there. That's why I gave the torch to Droop.
He's been walking around with two swords pointing them out. You were just doing prayers and shit.
Yeah, but when we started walking into this room, I ran around, but that's why. Oh, well, okay,
you did
I
say. Suppose.
I do have the ability to draw two weapons because I'm two weapons.
Oh, you've got the feet, haven't you? Of course you have. Yeah, fucking do it. Yeah. Yeah, go on, because you've got the feet. Yeah, 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 absolutely.
Let's just kill it. Oh, like the first natural 20.
Yeah!
So, do I roll the damage again? Because it's.
Yeah, so roll the damage again because.
Seven more.
That's
here.
Using the raw. Yeah.
Roll.
This is wave one, right?
So, this one is without your strength modifier. So,
yeah, that's just the 1d8, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, one. So, that's a plus nine, an extra nine damage altogether, isn't it?
So, you rolled a one. Yeah, so it is. It's a one plus the eight for the other die is 9 points of damage with your non magical. Weapon.
That's 19 total. One round, one hit, or two hits.
Jesus.
No, I'm more than 19. It was like 27 altogether.
Fucking hell.
Oh yeah, shit. Yeah, sorry. My bad.
That's one. Just,
I've been waiting to encounter a zombie for so long.
That's cool.
27 points damage. Fucking hell, dude.
Jesus. Oh yeah, because I got six at first, didn't I?
Yes. So. Yeah.
If it doesn't die, I suggest we leave.
No, I'll hit it again, Nick.
Yeah, I hold an action.
We all hold 10 actions.
Everyone holds an action. Luke's adding like a fucking horde of undead. You hear lots of thumping coming from upstairs.
No, so Droop drops the torch on the floor and then runs and hides.
Oh, didn't I kill it with all my damage?
No, you did not.
That's the boss, dude.
Still there standing.
Droop. It's gonna fucking go up, mate.
Millicent.
Aren't they already burned?
Pardon?
Not these ones. These ones aren't on fire yet, are they, these vines?
These vines are all burning, or have all burnt out and kind of melted down into some kind of sludge.
Oh, perfect. Okay.
Which is why it's difficult, because it's kind of slippery, it's sludgy. Millicent, you're up.
So I've got 15 feet of movement for difficult terrain, right?
Ooh.
Yeah.
So that's as far as I can get, so I can't get to the other side, but that's fine. I'm going to attack with with Sildar's sword. I don't know if that's relevant, but that's what I'm going to attack with.
Okay.
That's what you asked me earlier, but...
You miss.
Ooh,
seven. Yeah. A seven's just a miss, I'm afraid.
And I'll just be readying my other weapon for the next round.
Pock.
If I was to switch weapons, that's an action, isn't it?
Essentially, it depends if you want to stow away the weapon or if you want to drop it on the floor. You can just drop something, it's free, it doesn't take any effort. If you want to put it away back in its scabbard or whatever, then, or, you know, safely, then that is technically an action. It's kind of ridiculous, but...
I'll take another shot with my bow and arrow, please.
Okay.
18.
Ooh, that's a hit.
That's a 5, 6, 7 piercing.
7 piercing damage.
Yeah,
you guys got off lucky last time, because I just realised that there's something it could have actually have done to one of you last time that I forgot and didn't do.
Never mind.
Do you have anything else for us at all, Pop? You want to maybe take a step backwards or anything like that, just in case? I'm going to stay there. You're very close.
Fucking. Can Burr get in or not? Would I know?
I mean, he could walk around through you. Yeah, there's space there at the moment. But I mean, do you want to stay so close to it, knowing that it might shamble its way towards you?
I'm going to go
using
one
a bow.
Back.
You want to keep...
Okay. Just going to pop back to here,
there
please.
Go, five
just
step.
To give
5 feet.
A bit of space for...
Well, that's good as well, because if it tries to get near you, it'll be flanked.
Okay.
So that's a good move.
Okay.
That's a good tactical move.
Okay. Scapes, can you please make me a saving throw?
7.
Oh, thank fuck for that. The creature looks at you as it shambles towards you. You are suddenly overcome with fear as you take on the frightened condition.
No.
What did he roll? 7. Ooh, you're lucky. Because if you'd failed the save by a bit more, would have been worse. But you are frightened, yeah. So you cannot willingly move closer towards the creature. I believe attacks against it, for your attack against it, would also have disadvantage.
But I already have advantage, so does that mean it just cancels out?
Yeah. Frightened creature, I'm just bringing that up now. Frightened creature has disadvantage on ability checks and attack rolls while the source of its fear is within the line of sight, and you cannot willingly move closer to the source of its fear. So, yeah. And as you're already close enough to it, it's then going to attack you.
Yeah. No.
So it doesn't get advantage against you, which is a shame. I hope that it would, but it doesn't.
You're evil.
Oh, shit, I just threw a dice on the floor. Oh, mate. I threw it on the floor by accident and it landed on 18. Plus, its modifier would have smashed you, but I'm not going to count. That's off the table. Off the table. What's your AC?
18.
Misses.
Yay.
However, realizing that you're petrified and scared, it will move a little bit closer to its next victim. Does mean, however, that it's moved out of your reach, so you could make an attack of opportunity if you like.
Yes, I would like to do that. I'll swing my sword. 10.
You miss.
Can I use my inspiration?
Right, so...
I suppose not really. It's an attack of opportunity,
technically,
isn't it?
You could. I'm fairly certain that there's a rule with... We're in the rules, because inspiration just gives you advantage, but you can't have inspiration more than once. So like, there's a rule where like, even if you've got two or more effects that give you advantage, if you have disadvantage, they still just cancel each other out. You can't go, well, I've got advantage and then I've got disadvantage, so that's normal, but then I use inspiration, because it's still advantage or disadvantage. It's very, so you, it'll be a waste of it. Save it for next time is what would be my advice to you.
Oh, that's sweet. I can't move closer to it, though.
You cannot move closer to it. That's why I moved it.
it's just so bad.
I know. I just want to get one of you. We need to wrap this episode up because we're going long. We're going long, everybody. Burr. There's too many of you. Let's speed up. Let's go. Fast. Shoot. Miss. Next. Escapes. Run away. Droop.
What?
Hides. Medicine. But you're muted, by the way.
You're muted.
Yes. Yeah. 17.
Yeah, it hits.
It's a 3.
Nice.
Then on to the next person.
You ask, you get.
Gapes, you cannot willingly move closer to the creature.
Oh, is it my go? Is there nothing I can do about that?
Nope.
I can't. There's no roll. Okay, well.
Throw a shoe at him.
You don't have any ranged attacks with him, do you?
No, I have no ranged attacks.
So you want to take some damage?
I've got any spells. Okay, I'm going to bless 3 creatures within range.
Cool.
Otherwise, you 3. It means you get whenever a target makes an attack roll or saving roll before the spell ends, the target can roll a d4. And add the number rolled to the attack roll or saving throw.
Awesome.
So I'll give these all one of them. Bonus action, I think that's it, really. Yeah, I'll leave it at that.
I'll take it.
Cheers.
No worries.
Millicent, you're up.
I've now got... Wait, when you do two-weapon fighting...
Yeah.
Can I do short sword and short sword plus one?
As long as they're both light weapons, yeah, you can.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sweet. Okay, so I'll do my plus one first...
21. Hits.
So that's 8 damage on that one.
Oof, did not like that. Bits of the plant and vines and stuff are just falling off of it now.
So I've got to do my other sword. Did that work?
Yeah. Hits. 12 hits. This is the most anticlimactic boss fight, I swear. You know, when I ran this encounter for my last group, I killed 2 players.
Wow, really?
Well, shit. It hasn't This just hasn't managed to snag us. Yeah, it could still fucking happen.
How much damage on that second one?
5 points damage. That is my bonus action to hit with my offhand weapon, isn't it?
It is.
So that's me done.
Stand in your ground.
Stand in my motherfucking ground.
Hock, you're up.
20-foot cube, fairy fire. Can I negate the extra if I put it on him heading into the wall and the stairs?
Yeah, you can choose where you put it. So if you wanted to make sure you don't get any of your party, then yeah, you just chuck it in the other end of the room. That's fine.
Yeah, I'll do that, please. Needs to make a dexterity saving throw. 13.
Passes.
Ah, motherfucker.
Scapes, can you please make me a saving throw? Same as before, wisdom.
Wisdom. Five.
Jeez.
Oh, no.
Fuck. Yes. Oh, no. That's two. Yes. Shit.
What if you roll a one now? So again, it knows that like you're a threat. You really fucking hurt it. It turns round, its eyes ablaze, and it looks you deep in the soulscapes, and you can't move. You actually cannot move. You are paralyzed with fear, and then goes and swings an attack with its rotting fists and medicines. What's your AC?
Not great. 14.
Yeah, it misses, yeah.
Yeah.
Bold a fucking got six. You. Fucking six. Get in the fucking bin. I'm rolling shit tonight. Fuck's sake, I'm not ending to this stream tonight, this episode's recording, until I fucking
kill one of you. Dead.
Millicent sees the frustration in the skeleton's eyes and just sort of feigns, ow, that really hurt.
This is just bullshit. Burr.
Right, I'm going to drop my bow.
Okay.
Then I'm going to jog on in there. Ooh, and then I'm going to have a little stabby stab. Yeah, that'll hit. I've got 16 plus 6, 21. Yeah, that's hit.
22, yeah.
8 plus 4, 12 points of damage.
Yeah.
Whoa.
Then I'll do my sneak attack. So it's 2d6s. Another 2.
Mm-hmm.
Plus another 3. How much was that in total?
So 2 plus 3 is 5. I don't know the total. I've got the first one already.
Yeah. I forgot it as well. And then I'll move back out because...
You can.
8 plus 4. 8 plus 4 was the first bit.
Yeah, that was 12 and then plus 5. So, yeah, 17.
You done?
Yep.
Scapes, you are paralysed with fear. Paralyzed.
A little bit of urine trickles down my leg inside my armor.
So paralyzed means that you are incapacitated, so you can't take an action or reaction. You cannot move, you cannot speak. You will automatically fail strength and dexterity saving throws. Any attack roll made against you has advantage. Any attack that hits you is a critical hit if the attacker is within 5 feet. He's coming for you. He's coming for you. Shit. You better hope that you fucking kill him. So sorry, there is nothing you can do. That you cannot move, you cannot speak, cannot take an action.
Does that mean he's got the two conditions, frightened and paralyzed?
Both at the same time. And that's a valid point, actually, because the thing you did last time, the bless, there's that an action.
Oh, the bless.
That bless that you did was an action, yeah? So you couldn't do that. So nobody's got bless.
All right.
Would that have affected my fairy fire?
No.
Why couldn't he have blessed if he was frightened? He didn't have to move towards him.
It's an action.
He wasn't paralyzed.
If you're frightened, you have disadvantage on actions or reactions. Yeah, sorry. I'm making sure.
I think you can technically.
You have disadvantage, so because you didn't need to roll on it, that's fine. Yeah, sorry. Carry on as you were. Bless, I don't know what bless does. It means you get to add an extra die to what you roll. Yeah, yeah. So it wouldn't have affected your fairy fire because that was a saving throw. I'm tired and I want to go to bed, guys. Hurry up and die. So, Scapes, there's fuck all you can do right now because you're frightened and paralyzed. Sorry.
I do nothing.
Hold my action.
Because you're frightened. Yeah, so you're frightened, so you have disadvantage on ability checks and attack rolls. You can't willingly move closer to the source of its fear, but you're also paralyzed, which means you're completely incapacitated. Incapacitated means you cannot take actions or reactions. That's where I was getting confused. Means you cannot move at all. Means you cannot speak. Yeah.
Right.
So there is nothing that you can do. You're just frozen with fear.
Skeber escapes.
Millicent.
I don't feel like it's going to do much, but I'm going to just stay within melee range and just fill, you know, the gap between Scapes and the dodgy zombie. Yeah. Pop, pop, punch it in the face, slash it with a sword.
Oh, wait. Oh, hold on. Yep, carry on. An eight to miss.
Is Blessed still up?
How long does it last?
So a minute.
Yep.
10.
A miss.
Okay. Oh, fuck.
Second swing. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
23. 4 points of piercing damage. He's still standing there. That's my whole turn. Wobbling around ineffectively, apparently.
Why do I now feel sorry for it, Luke?
I just last time I ran this, like I said, I took out two characters and I felt so bad because this is homebrewed and I was like, oh, if I knew I'd stuck to the book, it wouldn't have happened. I felt so bad that I had killed them, not the module. I had done it, you know. And then I thought, you know what, you guys, you're doing well. We're going to do it because it's more interesting. It's fun. I actually really enjoy this little storyline that I've come up with. So I was like, we'll do it. And it'll be interesting for the podcast if we can have a... Oh, I hate the lot of you. Next time. You wait until you fight a dragon. I'll fuck you up. Puck.
Help me, Puck.
Would I have figured out its move speed?
No.
It moved, really, is it?
Not really moved, is it? I want to get it away from Scape, so I want to try something a bit strange. I'm going to move my full movement to go down into this corner.
Okay.
Then I'm going to use my cantrip Thorn Whip to try and pull it 10 feet closer towards me.
Ooh.
And it takes damage off of that as well.
That is some sexy strat.
That is a good strategy.
Melee spell attack against the target. I need to...
Roll a
D20. I've got a roll to hit there. So.
And add your modifier.
17. And I don't know what my plus is. So I don't know what the plus is.
It's just spell casting.
Spell attack. Oh, plus 5. Yeah. 20.
22.
Thank you. And then a 1D... Oh, blah, blah, blah. If the attack hits, creature takes 1d6 piercing damage, which is a 5.
Okay.
And I want to pull it diagonally 10 feet closer to me.
So does it, then does shit it myself. Just happen, or does it have a saving throw against being pulled?
No. If the creature is large or smaller, you pull the creature up to 10 feet closer to you. So it just happens, I believe.
Guys, I'm not having fun.
I shan't leave him alone, you bitch.
Not having fun.
Get away from me, bitch.
I thought I'm going to give you something more of a challenge than these poxy fucking goblins that you keep on slaughtering. Oh, we're going to have a challenge. But no, all we're doing is just fucking... I hate the lot of you. I'm reading the spell. I'm going to try and find a loophole.
It's a thorn whip.
It's a fucking cantrip as well.
Cantrip.
You create a long vine-like whip covered in thorns that lashes out at your command toward a creature in range. D6 piercing damage. Larger or smaller, you pull the creature. It just happens.
This happens.
Fucking bullshit. How much did you roll on the damage?
It was a 5.
Nice. Still standing.
Do I get a bonus action?
Everybody gets a bonus action. It's whether or not you've got anything that you can do a bonus action with, and it moves 10 feet closer to you. The thing is, it's difficult terrain, so I'm going to assume that it's still halves.
It didn't say anything about that.
Okay,
that's not fair.
That's not fair.
Let's move the
Mr.
map a
GM.
Little bit so we can see you, and I'm gonna see you. Okay, fuck it. All right, it moves 10 feet closer to you then. There you go. Right in front
of you. Shit, no, I didn't
and
want
then,
that to happen.
But then, Sean, it says up to 10 feet, so you can choose.
Ah, up to 10 feet.
No, you pull the creature up to 10 feet close.
Up to 10 feet.
Optional? Yeah, I suppose I'd pull it up as much as I
No, I'm making a ruling that it moves 10 feet. You argued with me. I went to move it 5 feet and you were like, no. So I've moved it 10 feet. Be careful what you wish for.
It slightly fucks my next plan, but because he is mano el mano with me, does a medium beast take up a 5-foot square?
It does.
Then I'm going to bonus action for some extra hit points into a black bear.
Okay.
Go shit myself now. Would have been a bigger bear, but...
Right. It looks at you as you've pulled it away from its prey. Make a wisdom saving throw.
Okay. I'm going to use a luck point. Second of the day. And I'll fucking take the natural 20.
You succeed. You're cheating. Cheating bastard. Next week, new rules. Everyone's using the dice rolling roll 20. I don't trust none of you.
Okay. I mean, I'm no longer scared if it focused attention on him.
It's, it's basically to the end of its turn, which is why it refocuses it. Only to the end of its turn.
Does that mean I'm no longer scared?
Well, at the end of its turn.
Right. Yeah, sorry. Getting yeah. really...
However, Pock is now immune to its dreadful glare for 24 hours.
Oh, sweet.
What's your AC? Is this bear?
It's spongier than Pock. It's an 11.
If it meets, it fucking beats. Motherfucker. Piece of fucking shit.
Bears are immune to zombies.
No, they're not. They are not immune. They are not. It doesn't do too much damage. However, I do need you to make a dexterity saving throw.
Too many rolls going on here. Okay, that do I use my dexterity or the bear's?
The bear's.
Oh, it's an 8.
Yes.
Does the bear get luck?
That's it, right. So from it smashes out at you and you take just a minor, nothing to worry about, 6 points of damage. However, as it hits you, there's like things splash out of it and you're a bear now and these little wriggly worms, these bugs, land on you and you're going to take... will tell you how many land on you.
Oh, God.
6 of these bugs land on you. They then bite you. And this is how I killed someone, because this is nasty.
Man, I was doing so well.
Oh, the dice.
Got
Jesus Christ.
All the dice. These rock grubs bite into you. You take a further 18 points of damage as these grubs start burrowing into your skin.
Ew.
And you are now infested.
Oh,
shit. Pock is back.
At a moment, they're just in there and they're just wiggling. You can still see their tails wiggling out.
That is so gross.
So I'm back to Pock now. I presume nothing changes.
Right, did that happen? Okay, this is where the contention lands. There are certain spells and abilities and attacks in this game. Okay, for instance, I think it's a Beholder has a death ray, which instantly reduces you to 0 HP and you die. Okay, and there has been rulings made that even druids in wild shape, the spell or the ability states reduce to 0 HP, die. It doesn't do damage as such.
Okay.
And the ruling has been made by old Jeremy Crawford in those instances, there's precedence for it, I sound like a lawyer, that in those situations, they die.
Cool. As in unconscious?
They die.
They die? Fucking hell.
This ability.
Oh, shit.
Well, I'm about to say fuck Jeremy Crawford, whatever his fucking name is.
Okay,
I don't have any spells to help. I'm just looking at rules.
So,
all the books come out.
I'm going to tell you now. As you turn back into Pock, these things are still stuck into you. And they're burning in your skin and... Oh, I don't know what ruling to make. I need to read this.
Okay.
I have something that might pull out
I mean, I had a fucking luck point, and I was just about to say I'm going to use it to make it re-roll.
No, it's fine. So the damage is going to roll over into Pock, and you're still standing. But they're still attached to you.
I'll take it.
Is that a condition infested, Luke?
No, it's just a word I'm using.
Okay. It should be a condition. I like it.
Infested.
Sorry, I just skipped. I've skipped one too many people in the turn order, but it's Bird's turn.
That's me. Okay, so run in, do the usual.
Poking with a stabby bit.
No, that's a one.
Natural one.
That doesn't hit. So yes. I'll run away.
Okay. good times, except from difficult terrain, so you can only move half your movement. So if you've gone 5, 10 feet in, that's 20. So you've got you've only got 5 feet. It's fine. Don't worry about it. I'm being pedantic over 5 fucking feet. You're right. Scapes. I've done it again. I've skipped too far ahead. Scapes. You are no longer paralyzed with fear.
Yay. Okay, I'm going to move right down there next to him.
And you can. You've got just enough movement to do it. And he's flanked.
And, yeah. Well, it doesn't matter. I've got advantage
anyway.
Got
advantage anyway.
Does that mean I just get one advantage?
Yeah, you just have advantage.
Oh. Okay. Advantage. And let's roll this up twice. 1, 2. 14.
Hits.
For 10 points of damage.
And that is with the +1 magical talon sword that you found in the crevasse under Tressendor Manor.
Yeah.
Would you like to tell me how you kill this thing?
Yeah!
Okay, then I just get up and I just lift my sword and I just go, it's been revoked, and I cut him in half.
By the way, it was nice of you to turn up and fight Scapes, for fuck's sake.
Yeah, sorry, man. I'm a bit sorry with that armor.
It falls to the floor, and some of these grubs fall out of it. Right where you cuss it.
Don't fucking touch them.
No.
Oh, shit, that's the... Right, okay, fuck.
Yeah.
That's from the thing earlier.
Yeah.
Mm. Right. Motherfucker.
Okay, I want to move away from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're out of movement this turn.
I was still in fighting.
Millicent. He's just killed this thing, and these more of his grubs just poured out of him.
Okay.
Can I get
Pock?
Well, yeah, before... If I don't know how much time we've got to talk, but I think I have something that I can sort myself out with without you wasting anything. I don't know for sure, but I have...
Well, I was going to cast Lesser Restoration on you.
Oh, that's what I was going to do.
Oh, well, there you go.
There you go.
It probably won't work, though, because it's not a condition. So maybe...
Yes. It's a
I'll
disease.
I'll let you transfer yourself out, maybe.
It's one disease or one condition.
Hmm.
Yeah, the infestation is not a condition, but there is an there is a condition there.
It depends.
Lesser Restoration does diseases as well, if it counts as that.
We don't know yet. I'm going to do it. I'm going to come up to you and cast Lesser Restoration.
Oh, thanks.
Because you look fucking gross, dude.
Lesser Restoration does?
Blinded, deafened, paralyzed, poisoned. It can either end one disease or one condition, sorry, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's in the chat now. Yeah.
Fucking hate you guys. You're too fucking smart. Have you been talking to my fucking old players? All of these grubs just wriggle their way out and fall to the ground.
Oh, thank
fuck me. Thank you very much.
Yes, mate.
Jesus.
Luke, I'm so sorry.
It's for the best. I don't actually want to kill any of you. I just want to scare you.
That was a bit much.
This is a long one. I don't know how many people still got in the chat, to be honest, because I've not been looking. There's still 5 people in there, or 3 or 4 possibly. So I appreciate you still staying here. You've just got to kill these last couple of grubs. Pock, you're up. I'm assuming you're done, Millicent.
Okay.
Yeah, that's all I can do.
I thought we were going to finish early. We had a earlier on. I was like, oh, we'll be done by 11:30. But this combat was like, oh.
I'm going to keep my distance. Oh, I can't even do that. I keep forgetting about Produce Flame being prepped. Well, I'll get produce flame because I can at least
you,
buy
when
that.
Earlier on, when you used your produce flame on the rock gobs that you found earlier on, you did not notice it do any more damage than you would expect it to do.
Oh, okay. Right. I don't want to be in reach of it again.
Your best bet, because you're a druid,
is
to turn back. Yeah, to turn back into an animal and attack it. That's what you're good for.
Yeah, I just don't have the space now.
You do. You just turn into a medium one, like you just did, just a bear.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah, okay. We'll go back to black bear again. This like that, or chestnut.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll do my two attacks then.
Thing is, cool. I don't think there's much threat here now that you know how to beat these with the cure, the restoration.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Yeah,
so you're going to kill these things now, and you know the cure.
18.
Everyone looks over and stamps on
them.
Is it 21 to?
So you turn into a bear, move up to it, hit. And then hit it. Yeah, 21 to hit. We'll hit.
Oh yeah, sorry. 21 to hit. And 1d6 plus 2, so that's a 3 piercing damage.
Nice.
Then a 13 to hit with the next one.
That hits as well. Got really low AC.
Cracking. And 4, 5, 6, 7 points of slashing damage.
Right. Yeah. I think we can just assume that you guys are all about to gang up on and kill it, to be honest, because this is boring. No one wants to hear us just fucking slaughtering something.
Stamping on maggots.
Yeah.
The maggots. Yeah. That, yeah.
Yeah. You will eventually kill it. It doesn't have a lot of hit points. It doesn't hit very hard, this one. The threat was if you failed one of the saving throws and they got into you. That's where it comes. That's where the nastiness in it. So we're going to call the episode there. But I did say last episode, once we're all done, I'll tell you what they are and all about them, because they're fucking cool. So that thing you just fought was kind of a cross between these and a mummy. So I used a mummy stat block, where a mummy has, when it hits you, you get cursed with the mummy curse, basically. And what I did is I replaced that with the effects that the rock grubs do, because the mummy's curse is really actually quite dangerous. It like basically reduces your max hit points by 10. You get cursed. The only way of saving yourself is to remove the curse somehow, and eventually you just die over a couple of days. So the rock grubs are a little bit more lethal up front, but they're curable. All you had to do was use fire on them when they're infesting you. So just when that, you know, produce flame and just touch yourself would have done the same trick, but lesser restoration curing disease also works. The danger with these bastards is when, like with the mummy's thing, with the swarm, okay, when it hits you, basically you're infected by 1d6 worth of rock grubs. Each rock grub that you're infected with then does a d6 damage, and I rolled a 6, so you took 6 d6s worth of damage. But then once they've successfully done that and attached, they burrow under your skin. You've got one round to try and get them off you before they under your skin. Once they're under your skin, the only way of getting them is to cure disease. But you had that lesser restoration.
Shit.
Every round that they are under your skin, you take another d6 point of damage.
Wow.
If you end your turn on 0 HP, you die. There is no saving throws. You are dead.
So, yes. So if
they burrow their way into your heart and eat you from the inside out, and there's no saving it.
Oh, it's like the scarabs in The Mummy.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly that. So I kind of thought, because they're, you know, the rock grubs, it suited the whole Moanda thing, and I wanted like a shambling corpse, so I just kind of mixed the two together. It's really fucking lethal. But I rolled fucking shit. You guys did brilliantly. And that straight away, you're in there, you're infested, lesser restoration, it's a disease. And you nailed it. My last team, and I don't think they actually listened to this podcast at all. Basically, this is, I've told you before, one was a druid and he wasn't wild shaping. And he was infested with them. They were in his body. He was taking regular damage. The paladin said, "Do you want me to heal you?" And he said, "Nah, I'll be fine. I'm going to wild shape next turn. Just kill the fucker." So he attacked. Next turn, at the start of his turn, he took the damage. He reduced to 0 HP. And he was like, "That's all right. I've got saving throws." Next turn, no one healed him because they were concentrating on killing the mummy. And I was like, "Well, you're dead." Shit. And I was like, "You should have healed. You know, if you have an opportunity to heal someone, you heal them. Don't rely on anything else." And I was like, lesson learned for you, basically.
That was the question in my head when we were discussing. I was like, "I'm going to try this. I don't know if it'll work." I literally thought, well, fuck it, I've got to try something because that could be bad. So
yeah. All right. Well, Long Old Combat, thank you for staying with us. The few people that are still in the chat again, guys, there's still a room to explore. We'll find out what happens next week on the Dice and Die show. Thanks for joining us. Bye.
Bye. The D&D Show would like to thank Saul Coast Soundscapes on YouTube for the music used in this recording. Find him on Twitter at Saul Coast Sounds. Thank you to Lewis Gell for writing our theme tune. Find him on Twitter at LewisSWGell. And thank you to our very own James Bly for creating the new incredible orchestral arrangement. Lastly, from all of us here at the D&D Show, thank you for downloading our podcast. You are amazing. We'll see you next time. The D&D Show is unofficial fan content permitted under the fan content policy and is not approved or endorsed by Wizards. Portions of the materials used are property of Wizards of the Coast, LLC.
Danger, mystery, intrigue. Think you've heard all that actual play podcasts have to offer? Think again. I'm Nate Peterson. I'm Nate Peterson, the dungeon master for... Yes, Stuart, what can I do for you?
I know naught of this, Stuart. My name is Dweezil Vansafir, the Bard of Bards.
Well, firstly, your name's Stuart and you're from Yorkshire. Secondly, I don't know if you've noticed, I'm trying to record an advert for our show.
Well, firstly, in your parlance, I've never even heard of this Yorkshire. And secondly, if there is a show to be advertised, then surely it should be I, Dweezil Vansafir, to do the advertising.
I wouldn't have thought so. I mean, surely this is a job for me as the Dungeon Master.
Perhaps a, song.
No, I certainly don't think it's time for a song.
Five adventurers, brave and true, strong of will and strong of arm, a band unbreakable through and through, they protect each other from insult and harm. What more persuasion could one require? Tune in to hear our tales.
Dice and Desire. You see, Stuart, words do have power, but certainly not as much power as the Dungeon Master. Join me as I corral my merry band of misfits through Storm King's Thunder every week on Dice and Desire, a 5e actual play podcast.
Here at Pen and Slabs, we take our episodes seriously. Observe!
Natural one.
Confounded dragon. I must prepare for next week.
Why? What are we doing next week, Bellry?
The same thing we do every week, Dragon. Try to accent the world.
It's Penance. It's Penance RPG.
Penance RPG. The definition of insanity.